in much need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which you will find in the portion we have read together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, and the last clause in verse 19. Luke chapter 22 and the last clause in verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. These are, I'm sure it is right to say, well-known words, and particularly as we either partake or witness the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And they were words spoken by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, dear friends, there is surely something very special, I might say, with regard to the words that Jesus uttered. I know we need to be careful, for the whole of God's word, from Genesis to Revelation, we believe, is given by inspiration of God. But when we think of what was said regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, that never man spake as this man. Oh, what gracious words, and what words to be heeded, dropped from his sacred lips. Well, here I think I just read the whole verse so that we have this clause in its immediate setting. And he took bread, that is Jesus, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Dear friends, what a fullness there is, what a depth. As the Lord Jesus knew what was shortly to take place, and how he chose, I hope that is one way we could put it, and he chose to set forth this means to remember him, to ever, for the remainder of time, commemorate his sufferings and his death. And what a time it was. He did not institute this ordinance, as we call it, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, but it was one of the very last things that he saw fit to do. He had, through his earthly ministry, given examples to his disciples. For instance, we have how he said, "After this manner pray ye." And those well-known words he then gave, which have been called the Lord's Prayer. And in other things, he left an example to his people, to his disciples. And now he comes to this Last Supper, the last time he would meet with his beloved disciples. And he sets before them these two emblems, the bread and the wine. Oh, friends, what wisdom and what grace is here shown. Bread, we could hardly think of anything more universally recognised as a staple food. And how today we can see we can obtain different kinds of bread that different nations particularly favour and make in their own particular ways. But what a universal food it is in that sense. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ takes this very food and sets it before them as an emblem of his own sacred holy body. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So first of all, there is the bread. Oh, dear friends, and this is to be partaken of. It is to be eaten. Oh, what it sets forth. "This is my body, which is given for you." And how you have sung in that hymn, "His dear heart was broken too, when he bore the curse for you." I have sometimes found, and perhaps some of you have, how our natural minds are ready to and come in when we may not always expect it, come in with questionings. For in this ordinance, and where it is again rendered by the Apostle Paul in the Epistle to the Corinthians, how it is again there set forth, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And perhaps there has been that question, because I have known it. When the Saviour hung upon the cross, the command came out after so many hours from the authorities at that time, that the soldiers were to see how those three crucified persons were. And because it was on high day, they were in a hurry to take the bodies down. And in one of the Gospels, I believe at least, it is mentioned the command was given to break their legs which would hasten their death if they were not already dead. But when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. And perhaps there may be, I don't want to suggest anything wrongly, but it has come into my thoughts sometimes. Yet the Saviour said, this bread is to be broken, and it is representative of his body, and the Holy Spirit in the Corinthians clearly expresses it, this is my body, which is broken for you. So how then can these things seemingly be laid plain? Well, I feel the dear poet has indeed come with that answer to it. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. And how much there was, dear friends, to break his holy and yet that heart like our own. Oh, what a great mystery, two natures in one person. And oh, friends, we do know, we have those glimpses in the scripture, in the gospels, of his sacred humanity, and how he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and his heart, we have the record, how he prayed to his Holy Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His dear heart was broken. Oh, dear friends, and how this surely must be a means for poor sinners to consider. Those whose hearts the Lord has seen pleased to break. And friend, has your heart been broken? Has my heart been broken? One of the poets was so concerned about it that they penned those lines, and if it be not broken, Lord, break it. I cannot quote you the lines exactly as they are. Oh, you see, dear friends, consider him. Oh, is there one? Even this afternoon, and you have come here, and your heart, you feel, is broken by those things that have laid upon you, whether it be the Lord's dealings with your soul, or in providence, or those things that are bound up together in providence and grace. For consider him, for consider him. There's not a great deal of difference in those two exhortations. This do in remembrance of me. And that word in the Hebrews that I've just referred to, for consider him, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, then, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And it is this command that he gave to those who loved him, those who had followed him, those whom he had called to follow him, each one of them. I do not speak of Judas at this point, only to say that in John 13, we do know that Judas left the table before they had come to the end of that supper. And dear friends, I leave the matter of Judas there. But you see, dear friends, the 11 were indeed those who loved their Lord and Master. And, yet they could not understand what must take place. And dear friends, sometimes that is how it is with you and with me, isn't it? There are things that we face that we know must take place, and we do not know why. We do not understand why. But dear friends, the Lord Jesus gave them this. He gave this to them before he suffered. Oh, there's such a significance in it that he chose, he conveyed to them that whatever was to come to pass and however they would feel when they had lost him, and not only those who were with him then, but for the whole of his chosen people, down to the end of time, from that point, from that season, when poor sinners mourn an absent God, when they feel to so miss their dear Lord and Master, then there is this to be fulfilled. To those who truly love and believe and have forsaken all and followed him, those who have been led and drawn to take up their cross, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And dear friends, there is, in following the Lord Jesus Christ, there is this blessed privilege conferred and bestowed for that which will be a means of strengthening. Yes, oh, I believe this is what the Lord Jesus Christ gave this for. This do in remembrance of me. It was for the poor and needy sinners in remembering him, and he has promised to come and to bless them in it. I am sure that it was what was in his gracious holy mind, that he would come through these means, not with a bodily presence in the bread, as some so grievously have sought to believe through the centuries, but by his Spirit, by his Spirit, and in that way that we have sung, his dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. And to turn our eyes from self, to stop pouring on ourselves too long, for it does sink us lower. Haven't you proved it, poor sinner? All this pouring over self, it sinks you lower every time. But oh, look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Yes, do this do in remembrance of me. And it is to consider his sufferings and his death. Oh, this is the object. And by his death, poor sinners receive life. It was the one object of his laying down his life, that sinners might live, that they might, through him, rise again in that great day. Oh, friends, are we hastening unto and looking for the day of the Lord? We know not when he shall come again to this earth. But in the meantime, you see, he has left us with this. This blessed means and the way that he has instituted with that purpose in mind to bless his dear people in it. It would not be otherwise. This is not given just as something of an empty form. God forbid. But there is so much more in it. You only have to think of the Saviour's words, so deep they are. I used to tremble when my dear father used to speak of this subject in John chapter 6, and how the Saviour there spoke at great length upon himself, the living bread which came down from heaven, and how he so solemnly said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." Oh, friends, what a solemn word that is. I used to tremble, and I still do. But it does not refer directly to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. It means a partaking by the Spirit's work. It means a partaking. This is not confined to people who have put on Christ by an open profession and who literally sit down at the table. It refers to the work of the Holy Spirit in poor sinners' hearts. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And that bread of heaven is the word of God. And the prophet could say, "Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And as for the wine, much misunderstood subject, if ever there was, in evangelical circles in certain respects. All this business about the wine, the new wine and so on, that is distorted by some. But dear friends, flowing of life into poor sinners' hearts. And what does dear Cowper sing? "Ere since, by faith, I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die." Friends, have you had a little touch that you've come in with those expressions? Oh, friends, then, the bread and the wine. But here in this time of the Last Supper, it was more poignant still, if I might say, that the Lord knew he was going to be taken from them. He knew that wicked sinners would come and take him and would deal with him and treat him as they did. The crown of thorns, the mockings of the soldiers, and the nailing of his hands and his feet to the cross. This do in remembrance of me. Yes, dear friends, they had a particular view that you and I haven't had in that particular way. But the Apostle Peter sums it up. We were eyewitnesses, and they were. But it is evident through the Scripture that this ordinance is to be continued by all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. And if the Lord has given you a little of that precious food, the bread of heaven, and that you've had a little taste of that wondrous wine, that brings life into a poor dead soul, and that renewing of might in the inner man, then, dear friends, the Lord exhorts by these emblems to remember him in his death. In his death. This do, in remembrance of me. Oh, if you've tasted a little of the benefit in your soul, poor sinner, this do, in remembrance of me. Oh, we have here a meeting, as we have in the, especially in this Gospels, of the time that the Lord Jesus came to suffer and to bleed and to die. We have a little of the meeting in his sacred person, of his sacred humanity and his divinity. Oh, they meet in him. This do, in remembrance of me. Why, this man of grief, man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, this do in remembrance of me. And yet this same dear man who rose again triumphant from the dead, his holy divinity, untarnished, it's very sacred ground, by his lying in the tomb. And he now has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive. He has received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. And in a sense, this is a gift that he bestowed. This ordinance, the emblems, the bread and the wine, they are gifts. They are the very best and most blessed gifts. To remember him who came that sinners might live eternally. This do in remembrance of me. Why, he had just said, this is my body which is given for you. That's the rendering here. Given, given. And friend, what is given is a gift, isn't it? Oh, if we had our hearts softened in this remembrance, well, wouldn't many of our sad doubtings be banished? For consider him, it comes back again, for consider him who endured. And friends, there are times when you and I, we don't know how we can endure, do we? We cannot feelingly endure. Sometimes we feel we can't endure another a moment or an hour or a day. But this do, this do, this do in remembrance of me. Oh, poor sinner. Oh, poor sinner. Oh, are you in this sorrowing and in this sighing? Because you have not been obedient to his gracious command. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, friends, what a blessed invitation is here. It is, it's an invitation. Well, I must soon leave the word with you. I do hope that the Lord has given it. Perhaps just a thought about, another thought about this precious sin atoning blood. Because what else is there to be compared to his own heart's blood? Dear friends, how true the hymn writer has expressed it, much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood. And that's true, isn't it? How little. But friends, here, before he leaves his disciples, before he goes into the most unimaginable suffering, in his love, in his wisdom, in his mercy to his dear people, he says, of the cup, this, he says, is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And friends, who can begin to tell of what that sets forth? But oh, have you and I a little hope that that precious blood, you know, is a token, a sure token of our deliverance from eternal death? You can plead for it. If Rahab the harlot could plead for a true token, friends, why then the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood, to plead. Oh, this cup, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Well, may the Lord in mercy grant his help now to a few of us to once more fulfill his gracious command. Oh, friends, how those who venture to his table have to come sometimes feeling their utter unworthiness. And friends, we also come with our great need that the Lord himself would be present as he was with his dear disciples, not in body, but in the Spirit. Amen.